What if a million believers prayed every day for our leaders by name? Our governor, our president, pastors, and parents, asking God not just to bless them, but to save them and anchor them in his truth. What if revival started in the halls of power and flowed all the way down to your neighborhood, your workplace, and even inside your church? In this devotional, we unpack why Scripture commands us to strive together in prayer and how that kind of united intercession can transform hearts before it ever changes policy. So let's lean in and discover why praying for all those who are in authority is good and acceptable to God. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. All right, we are in our Strength for Unity, and today we're going to talk about striving together in prayer. So if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It truly helps us accomplish our goal, which is to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us spread the gospel across the state of Washington, because we know if you want to have changed policy, you have to have a changed heart. So let's talk about striving together in prayer for each other. Many of you may know or may not know that we're trying to get a million people praying each and every day for our governor, Governor Bob Ferguson. And what are we praying for? We're praying that he has wisdom, that he has health. But most importantly, we're praying that he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, that's offensive. Like, we shouldn't say people need a how do you know that he doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, first and foremost, none of us know each other, right? So if you are questioning my salvation by the way I'm living or whatever, I encourage you, pray for Pastor Brian's salvation. I think it's a good thing that we pray for each other to know Jesus Christ and to know him fully. Secondly, he doesn't claim it publicly that he's a Christ follower. So what should we do? We should care enough to pray for him. We're also praying for President Trump to have that same full surrender to Jesus Christ, and not just a mental assent, but or a religious assent to Jesus, but a full surrender to Jesus Christ, that he may understand the humility that comes from Christ. All right, so we're going to dive into God's word today. We're going to start in Romans chapter 15, and we are down verse 30. We're getting so close to the very end of this, but here's our question for today. How seriously do I take my role in supporting mission through prayer? So here we go. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Look at that. To strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So we should be striving in prayer together, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. So he's asking, Paul is asking for prayer. I love this. So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he's asking for prayer as he goes in. Strive together with me in your prayers. So I want to ask you, are you striving together in prayer for those around you? Let's actually jump over here to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to talk about elected officials. First of all, Paul's advice to Timothy. First of all, then I urge the entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. All right. So it starts out saying, hey, I want you to pray for everyone. You may have a coworker and you're not sure they know Jesus. Pray for their salvation. Pray that you can be a light to them. Pray that you can be salt to them. Bring the gospel to them. Pray that God would open the door so that you can share Jesus Christ with them. So we want to pray for all men. For kings. Oh, wait. Well, we don't have kings, but we do have governors. We do have Bob Ferguson. We do have Trump. We do have elected officials. That treaties, prayers, and petitions and thanksgiving be made for kings and all who are in authority. We have pastors. We have elders. We have deacons. We have moms. We have dads. We have bosses, we have managers, anyone in authority, we should be praying for them and striving together in prayer so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Look at this. This is good. What is good? To make prayers, petitions, and treaties and thanksgiving on behalf of all men, all people. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So I don't see why we shouldn't be praying for those in authority. We're currently leading our legislative district prayer tours from district to district all across our state. I think we've done 4 or 5 of them now. And we start on the federal level and we go all the way down to the dog catcher, you might say. And we pray for everyone who's been placed in authority. We pray for the churches. We pray for the precinct committee officers. We pray for the House, the Senate, the county, the city officials. You know, we need to be lifting them up because why? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what are we praying? We're praying for their salvation. I don't know why. I had an older lady come up to me the other day and say, I just find it offensive that you'd be praying for Governor Bob Ferguson's salvation. I'm like, wow, really? Like, pray for my salvation. I hope you do. I honestly, I've had that happen where I walked into a church and they didn't know me and someone come up and prays that I might be saved. I'm like, great. I've prayed the prayer of repentance. I want to be saved as well. And I know that that is only based upon Jesus Christ and by faith through grace. It's not by works. It's by his mercy. And it's a gift from God. But this is what is good and acceptable to God, to pray that all men might be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Could you imagine if our elected officials came to the knowledge of the truth? Could you imagine if every citizen, all 8 million of us in the state of Washington, came to the knowledge of the truth, that government is not our God, that there's only one God, one Father, that there's only one who rules over us. And so if we came to that knowledge of truth, that government is not our God, wow, that would change everything. That we have one Savior. There's Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and that no man goes to the Father but through him. He is the atoning sacrifice on the cross. What truth? The truth of God's word, the truth of a biblical worldview. What would change? Would we have a millionaire's tax? Would we be segregating off a certain people group and saying, you make too much money, we're going to tax you differently? Not if you came to the knowledge of the truth. Would we dishonor the will of the people when they did a $30 tab? Not if you came to the knowledge of the truth. Would we be confused about boys and girls sports? Not if you came to the knowledge of the truth. Would we be aborting our babies and killing them? Not if you came to the knowledge of the truth. See, I want you to know that unless people are saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth, they're going to create policies that are contrary to the will of God. Would we be overtaxing our widows? Would we be having the church abandon our orphans and those who are poor? Would we allow lawlessness increase in our public squares? Not if you come to the knowledge of the truth. So are you striving in prayer with those around us that we are earnestly calling out? Now, some people say, oh, don't just pray about it. We got to take action. Well, I'll tell you this. When you honestly pray about something and you ask God to send you, you will take action. What I find oftentimes on the conservative side, at least, is there's a lot of response to the culture in the public square, and we're responding in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit of God. We need the mind of Christ, and we have the mind of Christ if we'll walk in the things of God. For there is one God, look at that, one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is why we pray. So Jesus makes intercessions for us between the Father and us. So think about this. We want people to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want them to be fully immersed in that truth. Because if we truly want change policy, we really want to get back to a constitutional republic. We want to get back to separation of power then that is only going to come through a humbled heart that says, I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to handle power incorrectly. I'm not going to love my neighbor well without the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in me. That's only going to come through a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ by faith through grace and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. That's what we want in Washington. Could you imagine if Olympia had a revival take place? That if it spread from top to the bottom, the very things of God, and that there was a humble spirit that transformed us from the inside out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And we do strive together. We pray for all men that they may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God, we pray that you would open up our hearts, that the good news of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance, that we are all sinners saved by God's grace. We confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And so, God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.